The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain and sat down, and his disciples came to him. Then Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the dominion of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the dominion of heaven. Blessed are you when the people revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, I got an email from Jackie Wilkinson, our lovely reader, this morning. And for those of you who don't know, Jackie works at the University of Montana as a faculty librarian at the University of Montana Mansfield Library. And she sent me an email about over a month ago saying, "Nerd alert, new archive photos of Our Savior's Lutheran Church." And it turns out, in doing research for another project, she came across some recently scanned images of our church, which were really cool. Call me a nerd, but they're really cool. And I had her print some of them out and put them out as an item for our silent auction. Maybe some of you who were at the Harvest Dinner last week saw the three framed pictures that I had. One of the photos was the inside of the old white church decorated for Christmas, which had a big Norwegian banner over it. The second photo was kind of an old congregation photo from the 1940s, which was really cool. And the final one, and my favorite, shows a crane holding the old church steeple in mid-air, and I'm not sure if they're taking it off or putting it on the building, but I particularly like this image because the scene looks kind of chaotic. One man is on the roof frantically pointing to another man on the ground, and the man on the ground looks like he is in mid-sentence yelling something and pointing at the person outside the photo, presumably the crane operator. And then there are these two other guys, one of the guys is he's turned like this and he's pointing like that, kind of in midpoint to the guy on the roof. And then my favorite, the last guy is on the edge of the photo, and he has this like his arm to his chin like this, and he's kind of just like taking it all in. I don't know. And you know what I appreciate most, I think, about this steeple teetering in midair image is how honest it is and how it makes me reimagine the situation and personalities of those in this congregation who have come before us. You know, most historical photos seem like they're kind of a little posed, right? You got your people standing dryly at the camera, looking without any smile on their faces. And I think sometimes because of this, we can slip into kind of this like glory days of Bonner kind of mentality and remember our forebears as perfect, as strong, as faithful folks. Yet, as this picture, I think, points out so well, is it reminds me that the saints of this church who have passed on were not superheroes, but human beings like you and like me. And they had their mishaps, their challenges, their made mistakes. Maybe lifting the steeple off the church was one of them. I have no idea. But I think realizing these things about all of the saints who have passed on this year. For All Saints Sunday is really important. For if the Christian tradition is for the perfect folks, then don't count me in. What if All Saints Sunday then was a time when we were able to reimagine and celebrate not only the strong and inspiring parts of saints, but also the chaotic and the imperfect parts? Can All Saints Sunday be a time when we hold both the perfect Christmas family photo along with the very imperfect steeple in midair photo in tension with one another? Does our faith tradition have room for that? Or do we need to reimagine one that does? I have frequent check-in phone calls with a beloved member of this church and community named Jan Redman. Jan has been a member of this church for many years, but she suffers from multiple health complications, and so she is many times prevented from coming to church physically, though she is very present in our church community on the phone particularly. She calls me almost every week, checks in. And I remember one of the questions that Jan had for me on the phone. And she asked me, "Pastor, what does being a saint mean?" And you know, I think we've gotten used to seeing a saint kind of like this perfect Christmas family photo. A saint is one who is most holy, holier than thou, and in some church traditions is seen to express an aspect of faith in an almost perfect way. This is why I think, for example, the Roman Catholic tradition takes great pains to nominate someone officially as a saint, because they have to go back into this person's life and verify an aspect of how their faith was lived out. And, you know, it is true that the word saint comes from the Latin word sanctus, which means literally just holy. Holiness and perfection through the generations seem to go hand in hand. But as words often do, and call me a word geek, I believe that multiple words are made up of very different words. And saint is one of those words that is made up of multiple historical terms. Saint also comes from what we know, the Latin word sanctio, which means sacred. As we seem to think of a saint as perfect, do we maybe forget that a saint is also a sacred part of God? For a saint, in its simplest form, is someone sacred to God and to us. They, of course, made a lot of mistakes, did mean things to others, say things that they weren't proud of, but yet, through God's grace, they are still sacred. I think seeing a saint as someone sacred, not as someone just perfectly holy, is the perspective that Jesus is also coming through this morning in his famous Beatitudes, coming from the Gospel of Matthew. Though these words of Jesus have been set to many perfectly minded tunes and perfect poems that are very powerful, inspirational, let's pay attention to what Jesus is actually saying here. He isn't lifting up kings and queens, the perfect priests or monks. He's lifting up the poor, the hungry, the outcast, the vagrant beggars who can't sustain themselves or their families, those who, at the look of it, might be considered the drain to the system, as we would call it today. The saints for Jesus are not the royal winners, they are the outcast losers. Dr. David Loess, president of Philadelphia Lutheran Seminary wrote a commentary on the Beatitudes in light of All Saints Sunday. And he titled it, "Jesus is for Losers." He writes, "In the face of these verses and All Saints Sunday in particular, we are forced to contend with the fact that we too are losers. We, and here I particularly address those in a similar socioeconomic bracket to myself, put great effort in convincing ourselves and those around us otherwise. We dress well, we live in nice homes, we work hard to be upwardly mobile, but no matter how hard we try, we are still racked by insecurities, still find it hard to love ourselves or others, still destined at the end of all of our striving for a hole in the ground. We too are losers, and unless we recognize and confess that, not in something to be ashamed of, mind you, but rather as one of the defining elements of our existence, we will have a hard time receiving the mercy and forgiveness, grace and life Jesus offers. Jesus is for losers, like you, like me, like the saints that came before us." I remember as a kid, my wordsmithing was also very powerful, and I loved the game of Scrabble. And I would play the game of Scrabble with my family up at our family cabin in northern Minnesota all the time. And I loved this game. That is, until as a 12-year-old, I figured out that I was no match for my mom, who is quite a wordsmith and a Scrabble extraordinaire player, and seemed to crush me every single game. And maybe some of you have had a similar experience with this particular game, but as a 12-year-old, I think I was particularly an egocentric one. And when I didn't win, it was really, really rough. But then I remember my grandmother, Grandma Joanne, who would always be up for a board game, no matter what it was. And she she would love to just laugh at these board games. And so she would play Scrabble and also get crushed every single time. But in playing Scrabble, she knew that she was going to get beat, so she needed to enjoy the game somehow with her family, so she actually just started making up super funny made-up words just for the heck of it, because no one was going to tell her what to do. And some of the words were just, like, so ridiculous. I remember she came up with this word, Mookenspritz, that she made. and it was so hilarious that we actually just had to give her the points anyways, because it made her laugh, made us laugh so hard. And, you know, sometimes the real saints are the ones not winning the game, but losing in inspiring ways. Jesus is for losers. May we remember our loved ones faithfully this morning, not for maybe what they won, but for what they lost. May the saints of our church and for the saints of our lives, the sacred ones, compel us to live more faithful lives of love and of grace. Amen. Let us now sing hymn number 728, "Blessed Are They," verses 1 through 4.